You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. David Spencer Percival has had a long and award-winning career in growing businesses into multi-million dollar success stories. Starting in fashion, David moved on to co-found recruitment firms Huntress and then Spencer Ogden. But it's his latest venture that is perhaps the most interesting and unexpected. After reading a newspaper story about a village in southwest Italy known for a large population of centenarians who credit rosemary for their health, David was set on getting the herb into his diet. Working with scientists at Kew, David found a way to extract rosemary, and seeing a huge market for a healthy drink that didn't exist, he launched number one rosemary water in 2017. The brand already has its own spin-off, Number One Botanicals, with a total of 10 different herb-based waters, all with a trademark white glass bottle. Number One is now carried in the food halls of London's top department stores, with the company having also raised more than $10 million from London's top investment bankers. Here's David with the story of Number One Rosemary Water and Number One Rosemary Botanicals.
I started relatively young. I was messing around in fashion for years, and then I started to get serious about my life. And yeah, I met a guy in a car park, and he said he was setting up a company. And at the time, I had a very posh Aston Martin, which I was terribly proud of. And he sort of stumbled across me and said, "Wow, you know, you must be really good at what you do." And to cut a long story short, we set up a business together. It was incredibly intense. We won many awards, Sunday Times Fast Track a few times, and culminating in the sale of that business to a private equity company for about $100 million, which was extraordinary. Very, very hard work, lots and lots of sort of time and effort, but good timing on the sale. And then my second business, I decided to sort of go it more alone, really, and set up with a guy called Sir Peter Ogden, and yeah, did the same thing again in a slightly different sector. We worked in energy as opposed to tech, and built it to, you know, 100 million turnover, and still have that business. So they were the two previous, and again, you know, lots of awards. I mean, I've been in the Sunday Times Fast Track seven times now, and I won the Queen's Award and Entrepreneur of the Year at the National Business Awards. So yeah, terrific sort of 15-year journey of two startups, which then brought us to Rosemary Water. I really wasn't looking for anything else to do. The company I'd built was doing very well. It was global. It was as simple as this. I read an article in the newspaper, and it was a very small article, but a very interesting one. And it was a bunch of scientists have descended on this village in Italy called Acciaroli, where the mayor had put this census out, and everyone sort of slightly freaked out that there were a massive number of centenarians in this village. One in 10 people were living to 100. So there were sort of 347 people walking around over the age of 100. And scientists went down to the village to see what was going on, because your chance of living to 100 in Europe is about one in 3,000 people. And everyone said, "Oh, you know, it's the Mediterranean diet." And the scientists said, "Well, not really, because there's tens of thousands of Mediterranean villages. This one's very, very special." So the article was interesting because the scientists had gone down to see what the differentiator was, and they found that they were eating masses of rosemary. They were chewing it raw, which is relatively unique to this specific village. So the headlines are quite amusing. It sort of said, you know, "Want to live to 100, eat rosemary." What was interesting about the villagers, though, they weren't particularly healthy in the traditional sense of healthy. They're not sort of like in Los Angeles, we're all doing yoga and, you know, drinking juices. They were Italian, so they were sort of eating what they wanted. They were drinking, and some of them were actually smoking as well. And I remember thinking to myself, "Wow, that's quite interesting. You know, note to self, I really must eat more rosemary if I want to live to 100. Because they sort of were relatively illness-free as well. And then about a week later, I thought, there is no way I'm going to consume fresh rosemary in my diet. First of all, it's quite hard to eat fresh. And secondly, it just wasn't practical. So I thought, "Oh, that's okay, I'll just drink it." And I remember Googling rosemary water, and I couldn't find anywhere in the world that sold it commercially. So I guess the eureka moment was, okay, there's an opportunity. So I went and bought a huge rosemary bush from the local garden centre. And I cut up all this rosemary and put it into glasses of water to see what it tastes like. I took everything out of the fridge. My wife thought I was going insane. And just a very rudimentary experiment. And I realised that it tasted really good. And I think that's where it started. And I then embarked on what was an incredibly complicated and expensive journey of extraction of all the compounds inside rosemary. of which there are 32, and they are fiendishly difficult to get out. You have to go to people who make drinks, and there are a few companies around, not that many actually, where you can sort of pay them an amount of money and they formulate a drink for you. And then you have to sort of, you know, design bottles and bottle it and promote it and stuff. So I went to visit these two guys and I said, look, I've got an idea for a drink. And I told them the story of the village and of Rosemary, and they thought, you know, that's a great idea. The problem is we don't do extracts, we only do flavours. Extraction is scientific, actually. It's quite complicated. So I had to then go and meet some botanical scientists up in Herefordshire and just embarked on this like crazy sort of scientific mission to extract all the compounds. And in the end, we got them all out, but it wasn't easy. And it would have been very easy to make a flavoured water. But yeah, so we did it the hard way. And then, of course, you have to, you know, design bottles and then you have to bottle it. And I knew nothing. I literally knew nothing. So it was an extraordinary learning curve. But I think one of the reasons I like doing it is because I knew I could do my previous job. I'd done two startups quite successfully. I just wanted to see if I could do something else and how good I really was as an entrepreneur, you know. So, and that's the journey. And from start to actual launch was only 4 months. I mean, it's one of the jokes was when we met a senior guy from Diageo. He said, so, when you tested the drinks, how was it? And I said, yeah, my wife and I were at the kitchen table every night. He went, no, the other people that you tested it on. We kind of looked a little blank, and he went, please tell me other people have tasted this drink. You're just about to launch in Harvey Nichols. We said, no. And it was, you know, drinks take 18 months to launch. So we did it pretty quick. The mantra with drinks is that you want to seed it quite carefully and you want to be in the right places, because you can always sort of go down the food chain, you can't easily go up. So the Holy Trinity in London is Selfridges, Harvey Nichols and Harrods. They all have food halls, they're all highly rated and very prestigious. We managed to launch in all three. Then you kind of look at places like Whole Foods and you go to Dalesford and places like this. So it's a very careful seeding and we very successfully did that. And we ended up just last week launching in 250 Marks and Spencers across the country. So the journey from starting to national, and Waitrose was 2 months ago, is quite a difficult one. But we did it super fast. Normally it takes about 3 years. But yeah, it's not easy. But you have to have such discipline. I think if you go to Whole Foods, you'll probably think there's too many. But if you go to an average supermarket, I don't think there's enough. It's interesting, the health food. I mean, Whole Foods is a captive market for us. The people who go there understand the products. We have a product that uses no sugar and no preservatives and no additives, nothing. I mean, it's literally two ingredients. That's actually quite complicated. Most drinks are stabilised with citric acid. We also don't use plastic. And I think one of the frustrations with the health food industry is that nobody wants to use plastic, but it's an awfully cheap vessel. So if you, as we do, bottle in glass, and you don't use stabilisers, and you don't use sugars, you have a drink that you have to rely on its health credentials. It has to taste good, and it's relatively expensive because it's in a glass bottle. And I do think consumers have to sort of wake up a little that, yeah, okay, none of us want plastic in the oceans, but you're going to have to pay more for glass or, you know, some kind of vessel that's not plastic. So it's a little frustrating. It's a very big market, big in America as well. East and West Coast is absolutely huge. In this country, it's starting to move a bit quicker, yeah. We have ended up identifying 9 new botanicals, single herb extracts with significant health benefits. And then we ended up in Kew Gardens, and Royal Botanic Gardens Kew have the most extraordinary science faculty, and they've authenticated all of our extracts and described all of the good stuff. And we're launching 9 new drinks with Kew Gardens, and they are going into Harvey Nichols and Harrods and Selfridges, and we're starting the whole thing all over again, which is, yeah, it's been quite a journey, and it's going to be quite a big launch for us. We are number one botanicals, and all 10 drinks will come under that brand name, and all in white bottles, all single extract, and yeah, all authenticated by the scientists down at Kew. So yeah, pretty exciting. They've all got health benefits, which is great.
Thank you very much to David Spencer Percival for coming in to share the story of Rosemary Water. This show was edited by Christy Evans. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.